In the drawing rooms of Victorian England, people spoke of Theodore Ashford with lowered voices and curious glances. Some called him unfortunate, others called him tragic, most simply called him the crippled Duke. 7 years earlier, Theodore, Duke of Ravenshire, had survived a dreadful carriage accident that had taken the strength from one of his legs and left him dependent upon crutches. Since then, society had decided his fate on his behalf. Though he remained handsome, wealthy, and possessed of one of the oldest titles in England, many believed his injury had diminished him. Mothers steered ambitious daughters elsewhere. Young ladies who eagerly pursued titled husbands suddenly found reasons to decline invitations to Ravenshire Manor. Theodore knew every whisper. At 35, he had grown accustomed to hearing pity disguised as kindness. He had learned to recognize the slight hesitation before introductions and the carefully hidden glances directed toward his crutches. Yet none of it angered him anymore. What exhausted him was the certainty with which strangers assumed they understood his life. On a gray autumn morning, Theodore stood beside the tall window of his library, one hand resting on a polished crutch. Rain tapped softly against the glass while a letter lay unopened on his desk. His steward waited nearby. "Your Grace," the man said carefully, "the arrangements have been accepted." Theodore stared at the distant gardens beyond the rain. "So she agreed." The steward hesitated. "Her guardians accepted." A faint smile touched Theodore's lips, though it contained no amusement. "Of course they did." The answer told him everything he needed to know. Another young woman would soon become Duchess of Ravenshire. Another stranger would enter his home carrying fears, expectations, and disappointments she had never chosen for herself. He dismissed the steward and remained alone with his thoughts. The marriage had been arranged through practical negotiations. Theodore required an heir. Wilhelmina Hartwell's guardians required financial rescue from debts they could no longer conceal. Society would call the arrangement respectable. Theodore considered it merely convenient, yet convenience had never inspired affection. Across England, in a modest house that seemed perpetually cold regardless of season, Wilhelmina Hartwell sat sewing near a narrow window. At 23, she possessed a beauty that often attracted admiration but rarely kindness. Her golden brown hair, gentle features, and expressive eyes made her noticeable wherever she went. Unfortunately, beauty did not protect an orphan from dependence. Her parents had died when she was young. Since then, she had lived under the care of distant relatives who viewed her less as family and more as an obligation. She earned every meal through usefulness. Every dress she owned had been altered repeatedly. Every small comfort required gratitude. When her aunt entered the room carrying a letter, Wilhelmina immediately sensed trouble. "You have been fortunate," her aunt announced. Wilhelmina lowered her sewing. "Fortunate? Yes, very fortunate." The older woman placed the letter on the table. "You are to marry the Duke of Ravenshire." The words seemed impossible. Wilhelmina blinked. "The Duke? Indeed." She knew the name. Everyone knew the name. Theodore Ashford, the crippled Duke. Rumors surrounded him like fog. Some claimed he was bitter. Others insisted he despised company. A few whispered that he rarely smiled and spent most of his life hidden within his enormous estate. Wilhelmina looked up. "Why would he choose me?" A brief silence followed. Her aunt avoided her eyes. That silence revealed the truth more clearly than any answer. This marriage was not about choosing. It was about arranging. It was about debts. It was about money. For the first time, fear settled heavily in Wilhelmina's chest, not because Theodore was injured, not because he was a duke, but because her future had been decided without her voice. The weeks before the wedding passed quickly. Wilhelmina received instructions rather than conversations. Tailors arrived. Documents were signed. Travel plans were made. Nobody asked what she wanted. As the wedding approached, she found herself wondering about the man she was expected to spend her life with. Late at night, she imagined countless possibilities. Perhaps he truly was cruel. Perhaps he resented the world. Perhaps he viewed her as another obligation. Yet a small part of her questioned the stories. People often judged what they did not understand. She knew that better than anyone. The wedding took place beneath high stone arches in an elegant church filled with distinguished guests. The atmosphere felt strangely divided. Some admired the grandeur. Others attended for curiosity. Many had come to witness what they considered a peculiar union. As Wilhelmina walked down the aisle, she could feel eyes following her, not with celebration, with sympathy. They pitied the beautiful young bride. When she reached the altar, she finally looked directly at Theodore. He was taller than she expected. His dark hair was neatly styled. His features were strong and refined. There was nothing fragile about him, only a quiet weariness hidden behind composed blue eyes. As he shifted slightly, she noticed the effort it cost him. Pain flashed across his face before disappearing almost instantly. No one else seemed to notice. Wilhelmina did. For reasons she could not explain, that moment changed something. The man standing before her was not the frightening figure society described. He looked lonely. The ceremony concluded. Vows were exchanged. Documents were signed. By afternoon, Wilhelmina Hartwell had become the Duchess of Ravenshire. The journey to Ravenshire Manor lasted several hours. When they finally arrived, the estate rose from the countryside like something from a dream. Its stone walls stretched across vast grounds. Its windows reflected the fading evening light. Its grandeur should have felt impressive. Instead, it felt silent, almost abandoned. Inside, servants welcomed them respectfully before disappearing into their duties. Theodore guided Wilhelmina to a sitting room. For a moment, neither spoke. Then he broke the silence. "You should know," he said, "that I do not expect anything from you beyond courtesy." Wilhelmina listened carefully. "You will have freedom here. You may read, walk the grounds, receive visitors, and manage your own affairs as you wish." His voice remained polite but distant. As though preparing for rejection before it arrived, Wilhelmina studied him. "Thank you." Theodore seemed surprised. "For what?" "For treating me kindly." Something flickered across his expression, confusion, perhaps even disbelief. No one spoke for several seconds. Then a servant arrived to escort Wilhelmina to her rooms. That evening, Theodore remained alone in a corridor outside the grand staircase. As he turned toward his study, he heard two servants speaking quietly nearby. "How long do you think she will stay content?" one asked. The other sighed. "No lady wishes to spend her life married to the crippled Duke." Their footsteps faded. Theodore stood motionless. Ordinarily, such comments would not have affected him. He had heard similar remarks for years, yet this time was different. For the first time in a very long while, he found himself thinking about the young woman who had thanked him simply for being kind. And as the quiet manner settled around him, a single unexpected question entered his mind. What if she did not regret marrying him after all? The first weeks of their marriage unfolded with a gentleness neither Theodore nor Wilhelmina had expected. Ravenshire Manor remained vast and quiet, yet the silence no longer felt quite as heavy. Wilhelmina moved through its corridors with quiet curiosity rather than entitlement. She treated the servants with kindness, learned the rhythms of the household, and never attempted to force conversations Theodore did not wish to have. For his part, Theodore maintained the respectful distance he had promised. He joined her for breakfast most mornings. He occasionally accompanied her during afternoon tea. He ensured she had every comfort the estate could provide. Yet he guarded his heart carefully, convinced that courtesy was all either of them should expect. The arrangement should have remained simple. Instead, it began changing in ways he could not predict. One rainy afternoon, Wilhelmina found Theodore reading in the library. The room had become her favorite place in the manor. Shelves stretched from floor to ceiling, filled with histories, poetry, philosophy, and travel journals collected across generations. She selected a book from a nearby table. "Have you read this one?" she asked, Theodore glanced at the title twice. Then I shall ask your opinion when I finish it. You assume I liked it. A smile touched her lips. You finished it twice. That seems promising. To Theodore's surprise, he laughed. The sound startled both of them. He could not remember the last time conversation had felt so effortless. After that day, similar exchanges became common. Wilhelmina discovered that beneath Theodore's reserved exterior existed a sharp wit and a surprisingly playful sense of humor. He discovered that she possessed intelligence far beyond the accomplishments expected of Victorian ladies. She enjoyed discussing literature, questioned accepted opinions, and listened with genuine interest whenever he spoke. Most importantly, she never treated him differently because of his injury. She did not rush to help whenever he stood. She did not stare at his crutches. She did not lower her voice with pity. She simply treated him as Theodore. That simple distinction carried more meaning than she realized. Years of society's judgment had taught Theodore to anticipate discomfort in every new relationship. Yet Wilhelmina behaved as though his injury were merely one detail among many rather than the defining feature of his existence. Gradually, the walls around his heart began to weaken. One evening, while reviewing estate accounts together, Wilhelmina noticed several unusual expenditures. "These donations are considerable," she remarked. Theodore looked down at the ledger. "Yes, to schools," he nodded, "and orphanages, yes." She turned another page. "There are dozens of them." Theodore shifted uncomfortably. "I prefer not to publicize such things." Wilhelmina studied him for a moment. "Why?" "Because generosity becomes less meaningful when performed for applause." Her eyes softened. For years, she had heard society describe Theodore as bitter and withdrawn. Yet the man sitting beside her quietly devoted enormous sums to helping strangers. The contradiction intrigued her. The more she learned about him, the less she believed the stories. As autumn deepened, their friendship continued growing. Theodore found himself seeking her company without conscious intention. He looked forward to breakfast conversations. He noticed when she was absent from a room. He listened for her laughter in distant corridors. The realization unsettled him. Affection had no place in the arrangement they had created, yet affection was undeniably growing. One morning, while exploring the estate grounds, Wilhelmina discovered an old stone pathway hidden behind overgrown hedges. Curiosity led her farther. Beyond the tangled growth stood a large Victorian rose garden, or rather, what remained of one. Weeds choked the pathways. Dead branches twisted around rusting arches. Flowerbeds had been abandoned for years. Despite its neglect, traces of former beauty remained visible. When Wilhelmina returned to the manor, she asked the head gardener about it. The elderly man hesitated. "The Duke has not visited that garden since before his accident." "Why?" "It was once his favorite place." That evening, she mentioned the garden during supper. Theodore's expression immediately changed. A shadow crossed his features. "I would prefer not to discuss it." Wilhelmina sensed genuine pain beneath the words. She let the matter rest. Yet she could not stop thinking about the neglected roses. Over the following weeks, she quietly devoted herself to restoring the forgotten garden. She worked alongside gardeners rather than directing from a distance. Dead plants were removed, paths were cleared, new roses were planted, broken benches were repaired. The work was slow, but progress became visible. With each passing day, life returned to a place long abandoned. The project became deeply personal, perhaps because she understood what it meant to feel forgotten. Like the garden, she had spent years believing she existed merely as an obligation in someone else's life. Watching new growth emerge from neglected soil filled her with unexpected hope. Eventually, Theodore noticed her frequent absences. When he learned where she had been spending her time, concern replaced curiosity. "You need not trouble yourself with that place," he said. "It is no trouble. It serves no purpose." Wilhelmina looked at him carefully. "Then why does it matter so much?" For a moment he offered no answer. The silence itself revealed everything. Months later, on a bright afternoon touched by the last warmth of autumn, Wilhelmina approached Theodore with a request. "Come with me." "Where?" "The garden." His expression hardened instantly. "No, please." "I have no desire to see it." Wilhelmina met his gaze. "Then come, because I wish to show you something." Theodore nearly refused again, yet something in her voice persuaded him. Reluctantly, he agreed. The journey was difficult. Each step across the grounds demanded effort. Pain accompanied him as faithfully as his shadow. Several times he considered turning back. Wilhelmina never pressured him. She simply remained beside him. When they finally reached the entrance, Theodore stopped. For several seconds he could not speak. The neglected ruin he remembered had vanished. Fresh roses lined the pathways. Color filled the flower beds. Sunlight illuminated climbing blooms along restored arches. Life had returned. Slowly he moved farther inside. Memories followed. Memories of the young man he had once been, the future he had imagined, the accident that had shattered everything. His grip tightened around his crutches. "I was engaged before the accident," he said quietly. Wilhelmina remained silent. She ended the engagement within months. Pain flickered across his face. "Others followed. Some pitied me. Most avoided me. Eventually, I stopped expecting anything different." For the first time, he spoke openly about the years that followed. The humiliation, the isolation, the loneliness, the certainty that no woman could ever genuinely love him. When he finished, the garden fell silent. Wilhelmina stepped closer. "The accident injured your leg," she said softly. "It never touched your heart." Theodore stared at her. No one had ever spoken to him that way. No pity, no false reassurance. Only simple truth. Something shifted within him then. A burden he had carried for years seemed suddenly lighter. As evening sunlight settled across the roses, Theodore realized he was looking at his wife differently than before. Not as a companion, not as a friend, but as the woman whose presence had brought warmth back into parts of his life he believed were lost forever. And for the first time since his accident, the prospect of loving someone no longer frightened him. It gave him hope. Winter arrived gently at Ravenshire Manor, covering the grounds with silver frost and transforming the restored rose garden into a quiet landscape of sleeping beauty. Though the flowers had surrendered to the season, their presence remained visible in every carefully tended pathway and archway. Like the garden itself, Theodore found that something within him had changed. For years he had measured his life by loss. Now he measured it by anticipation. He looked forward to breakfast with Wilhelmina. He looked forward to evening conversations beside the fire. He looked forward to hearing her footsteps in distant corridors. The realization both comforted and frightened him. Love had entered his life quietly, but its presence could no longer be denied. Unfortunately, happiness rarely escaped society's attention. As winter social events resumed throughout London, news of Ravenshire's transformed household began spreading among the aristocracy. Guests who visited the estate returned with surprising stories. They spoke of a duke who smiled more often. They described a duchess who seemed genuinely content. They remarked upon a marriage that appeared far warmer than anyone had expected. Not everyone welcomed those reports. Among society's most ambitious women was Lady Beatrice Henshaw, a wealthy noblewoman whose interest in Theodore had existed long before his marriage. She had once considered herself a suitable future Duchess of Ravenshire. Theodore's indifference had wounded her pride. Now she viewed Wilhelmina's growing influence with resentment. Unable to believe affection could exist between them, she convinced herself that Wilhelmina's motives must be financial. The rumor began quietly. A careless remark during tea, a suggestion whispered behind fans, a question disguised as concern. Before long, society began discussing whether the poor orphan had merely secured herself a fortunate future. The gossip eventually reached Ravenshire Manor. Wilhelmina dismissed it immediately. Years of hardship had taught her that strangers often invented stories when truth failed to entertain them. Theodore, however, reacted differently. The accusations awakened insecurities he had spent years trying to bury. At first, he ignored them. Then he began remembering. He remembered the fiancée who abandoned him after his accident. He remembered invitations that suddenly stopped arriving. He remembered women who admired his title while avoiding his company. Old wounds reopened with disturbing ease. One evening, while sitting alone in his study, Theodore found himself asking a question he despised. Had Wilhelmina ever truly chosen him? The thought filled him with shame, yet it remained. She had entered the marriage because circumstances forced her hand. That fact could not be changed. The more he considered it, the more uncertain he became. Gradually, he withdrew. The change was subtle. Breakfast conversations became shorter. Walks through the grounds became less frequent. Moments that once felt effortless became carefully restrained. Wilhelmina noticed immediately. She simply did not understand why. At first, she assumed estate matters demanded Theodore's attention. Then she suspected his health had worsened. When neither explanation proved correct, concern turned into heartbreak. The distance hurt more than she expected. Somewhere along the way, Ravenshire had become more than a home. It had become the place where she finally belonged, and Theodore had become far more than a husband. One evening she found him standing near a library window. Snow drifted beyond the glass. "You seem unhappy," she said quietly. Theodore kept his gaze outside. "I am merely occupied." "That is not true." Silence followed. For a moment she thought he might explain. Instead, he offered a polite smile. The conversation ended there. As the weeks passed, neither found the courage to address the growing divide between them. Then spring arrived. With it came Theodore's annual charity gala, an event he had not hosted since before his accident. The decision surprised society. Many believed the Duke preferred isolation. Others assumed he lacked confidence. The truth was far simpler. For years, Theodore had seen little reason to celebrate. Now, he wished to support the schools and orphanages he funded while showcasing the restored beauty of Ravenshire. Preparations consumed the estate. Servants polished every surface. Musicians were hired. Invitations traveled across England. Most importantly, the rose garden bloomed once again. By the evening of the gala, vibrant flowers transformed the grounds into something extraordinary. Guests arrived in elegant carriages. Lanterns illuminated winding pathways. Laughter drifted through the spring air. Wilhelmina moved among visitors with grace and warmth, earning admiration wherever she went. Yet beneath her composure lingered sadness. Theodore remained courteous throughout the evening, but the distance between them still existed. Lady Beatrice noticed. Sensing opportunity, she decided to strike publicly. The moment arrived during a gathering near the garden. Conversation flowed easily until Lady Beatrice raised her voice just enough for surrounding guests to hear. "How fortunate for some people," she remarked, "to marry into immense wealth after beginning life with nothing." The crowd fell silent. Everyone understood the implication. Wilhelmina felt dozens of eyes turned toward her. Lady Beatrice smiled sweetly. "Though I suppose affection is easier when accompanied by a dukedom." Several guests shifted uncomfortably. Others waited eagerly. Scandal always attracted attention. Theodore's expression darkened. Before he could respond, Wilhelmina stepped forward. Her voice remained calm. "I did arrive with nothing." The honesty surprised everyone. "I had no parents, no fortune, no influence, no certainty about my future." Silence deepened around her. She continued, "When I came to Ravenshire, I expected duty and little else. Instead, I found respect." Her gaze moved toward Theodore. "This man never treated me as a burden. He offered kindness before affection, dignity before trust. He gave me a home when I believed I would never truly have one." Emotion trembled softly within her voice. "Theodore healed a loneliness I carried for most of my life." The words struck Theodore with overwhelming force. Suddenly, every doubt seemed absurd. Every fear appeared small beside the sincerity shining in her eyes. For months, he had worried whether she truly cared for him. Now he realized he had been asking the wrong question. She had shown her love repeatedly. He had simply been too frightened to believe it. Without hesitation, Theodore moved forward. The crowd watched as he crossed the garden. Each step demanded effort. Each movement carried traces of pain. Yet he continued, not because he wished to impress society, because he wished to reach her. When he finally stood before Wilhelmina, the world seemed to disappear. "I have spent years believing I was difficult to love," he said. His voice carried across the silent garden. "Then you arrived and proved me wrong." Tears filled Wilhelmina's eyes. Theodore smiled. "You restored far more than roses." He took her hand. "You restored hope." The confession required no further explanation. Everyone present understood. The Duke and Duchess were no longer bound merely by marriage. They were bound by love. Around them, the garden bloomed beneath the spring moonlight. The guests faded into the background. The rumors lost their power. For the first time since his accident, Theodore felt completely free. And as Wilhelmina looked into his eyes, she knew their story was not ending in that beautiful garden. It was only beginning.